IVM.
Folks, welcome to Paisa Paisa. I'm your host Anupam Gupta, B50 on Twitter, and today we're going to talk about how to find a financial advisor. Really, really important topic because all of us need to make well-informed financial decisions about our money. Not all of us get the right advice. I know that we have to go looking in a lot of places, asking a lot of people to get the right kind of financial advice. It's not exactly a pleasant experience, but my guest today, IFA Now, hopes to solve exactly this problem. And I have with me Ronak Hindocha, who is the founder and CEO of IFA Now, India's first social network for personal finance. Ronak, welcome to Paisa Paisa. Thanks so much for doing this for our listeners. Tell us quickly about your background and how you got to starting IFA Now.
Thank you so much, Anupam. Glad to be on this show. So I am postgraduate in finance from NMIMS. I started off in 2005 with my professional journey. I worked with started with a large infrastructure company where I worked in the treasury department. And from there on, I moved on to investment banking, which I did for about 3 to 4 years. And in one of these deals, I was helping this personal finance startup raise funds. Now, the founder that I was working with, Subit Ved, you know, he was running this personal finance startup, which was offering financial advisory. And he invited me to join his company as one of the founding team members. And there I ended up learning a lot about how financial advisors work, how they deal with people's finances, and a lot about operations and mutual funds and technology. So it was a very well-rounded experience that I got over there. And with that experience, I worked there for about 2 years. And then I decided to start on my own. So that's how, you know, my nice journey as an entrepreneur really started off. Okay. And with the tech background that I had, we decided to build our own robo-advisory platform. But now these were early days in the startup ecosystem, as you know. And we realized that, you know, a robo-advisory platform was a little early for its time. But what we still ended up doing was we built a lot of interesting tools, you know, which we showed to our advisor friends in the community. And they liked the idea. And they said, you know, if you can offer us such a thing. So that's how we pivoted from a B2C to a B2B model. And we built up, ended up building a SaaS product for financial advisors. So, I mean, we've been working on this for a few years now, and the product has been growing steadily in terms of users and revenues. But fast forward 2020, the pandemic happened, and we saw a lot of people were in dire straits with their personal finances, and they really needed professional help. So we thought, you know, let's leverage our network that we built over period, and let's build a sort of a marketplace which helps people to connect with these financial advisors. So with that experience, we built a marketplace, and it was something we always wanted to do, but this was like a good trigger point for us to build it out. And then, you know, gradually we opened it up into having a discussion forum, having a learning space and all. So all in all, it's ended up becoming a sort of a social network for personal finance, and at least that's how we'd like to pitch it. So that's what IFA Now is all about. That's how the journey started.
Mm-hmm. Just for our listeners, what's the website? It's ifanow.com.
.com, yeah.
Okay, so folks, you can check out ifanow.com. That's ifanow.com. We'll talk more about the exact services and how the entire portal is built and what it offers. But I just want to take a step back and get back to the importance of financial advice. So, Ronak, we first interacted on Twitter, you know, last year when the pandemic was on. It's still on, by the way. And I had tweeted a question about what stops people from getting good financial advice, right? Because I've been running this podcast now for 4th year, and I get in a lot of questions, and it just makes me feel that, and most of the times I just answer, just reach out to a financial advisor, find a financial advisor. People don't. So I just thought, just let me put it out there. Yeah. What stops you from getting financial advice? And I got this whole host of replies. But if I was to summarize the entire, you know, essence of the replies or what people had to say, it just boiled down to one word, which is trust, which is that basically people find it hard to trust an advisor. What's your view on this here? I mean, you know, I thought that by now we would have had this thing sorted, but how do you approach this?
It's a valid point, very pertinent. But let me step back, Anupam. Trust is eroding not just in the financial advisory space. It's cutting across geographies and cutting across domains. But of course, with personal finance, that's a far more relevant topic to discuss about, and a very pertinent thing that we've got to tackle. So I'd like to talk about this from three standpoints. One is the client side. Other is from an advisor side. And third is from a regulatory side. Okay. So talking from the client side, I feel there is an information overload out there. All right. People have access to so much of data points out there. There was an information arbitrage at some point, but that is reducing, right? So in the past, we had to rely on financial advisors for whatever information we needed. But with so much of abundance of information out there, the tendency and the propensity to trust an advisor is reducing for sure, right? And even the products, if you see, they are becoming far more transparent compared to the earlier ones. You see the mutual fund NAV is getting updated on a daily basis. The portfolios get updated periodically. So people, and on top of it, there are so many research tools out there. So people can, research things on their own, and they feel that, they have access to so much of good information where they can make their own decisions. Now, they may end up making wrong decisions, and that's a separate issue. But the tendency to talk to an advisor is that much lesser. Now, with that, what also comes is ego, that when I have so much of access to information, why should I trust anyone with my money, right? Why should I trust anyone with my hard-earned money, right? So that's definitely one of the things why people feel that they don't need to trust an advisor with this amount of information out there. On the regulatory, on the advisor standpoint, I feel so far the relationship with the clients has been far more transactional, if you see, where the focus is on, buying the best performing schemes and, focusing on returns and all those things. But with that, what happens is, you end up focusing on things which are not in your control. And when you don't get those returns and all, that creates mistrust. Because all these are systemic risks, as we know, and the advisor is not in control of these things. So I think my advice to the advisor community would be to be proactive in your communication. Try to move away from product-centric advice and try to product-centric relationship and move into a more process-driven relationship. Try to define the goals, set the expectations upfront, right? And of course, I empathize with the people because they've had their fingers burned in the past with all those mis-selling that has happened, with all the bad experiences with working with large bankers and all those things. But again, having said that, my experience with the current crop of advisors, Anupam, is that they're far more evolved and far more knowledgeable in their way that they deal with people's finances. They empathize with the investors, and based on this, there are countless stories where they'll tell me that they trust the advisors more than the family members. I've seen cases where husbands and wives will share information with the advisor but not with each other, right? So those are the sort of things that I've come across, and they'll involve the advisors in making all those important financial decisions. So they treat them as family members. So I mean, I've seen how the new crop of advisors are dealing with this thing. So that's one. And on the regulatory standpoint, I feel SEBI has been doing some great things with the IA regulations that have come in 2013, and I'll come to that later on. But that addresses a very important thing, which is the conflict of interest, which is inherent. And with the stricter norms that they are putting in place, I'm sure that's going to help a long way in reducing the trust deficit.
Okay. I want to now take actually one step back, because this is something that has confused me also a lot of times. When this entire distributor advisor thing was not, that was quite simple. I mean, you had a guy who was, I'm talking about 10 years ago, I'm sure you would also remember that. You would have typically someone, who's either a friend, family, and or colleague, or someone knows someone, and then you would have a distributor who would come up to your house or your office and fill up all the forms. So you would sign it and that's it. There would be some kind of proof that you would have to give, and you would open a mutual fund account. That's it. You're sorted. Now, the scenario is, I always get confused as to how do I differentiate it? Who is a distributor? Who is an advisor? Mm-hmm. And who is an expert? Because YouTube is full of experts.
That's true.
They don't put anything out there. They don't give any disclaimers. They just put up videos saying that this is how you do this, this is how you do that. I want you to just make this simple for our listeners. Just very, very basic. Category one is random strangers. They could be anybody, and there's nobody stopping them right now from giving any kind of advice. And you've got distributors that just tell us, how do we make sense of who is who and what role they perform?
So, Anupam, see, one way to look at this is from, you know, the revenue that they, what their revenue model is. So at a high level, there are these distributors of products out there, and there are advisors. And then there are content creators who are who act as experts. That's a different thing. But from a regulatory standpoint, you either have a distributor or you have a advisor. Now, a distributor could be someone who is just distributing a financial product like mutual funds, insurance, loans, and fixed deposits, and all those things. And the advisor is someone, so the distributor would be, his revenue model is by way of commissions that he gets from the product that he sells to you. And the advisor, on the other hand, his revenue model is the way he charges a fee, and you pay the fee to the advisor. That's his only way. That's the only way he can make money from you. He cannot make money from any product that he advises to you. So that is something that the regulator has made pretty clear. Now, where did this regulation come from? So back in 2013, SEBI came up with this IA regulations, where the whole idea
IA standing for investment advisor.
Yeah, IA is the investment advisor regulation. And that was in 2013, where the idea was they wanted to clearly define the scope of a distributor versus an advisor. And why they wanted to do this was to just tackle this inherent conflict of interest and thereby curb the mis-selling part. Okay, and I think it's a pretty path-breaking regulations, and they've done a great job at that. And there is now clarity in terms of, you know, when you go to a distributor, what is it that the distributor can do and what he cannot versus what an advisor can do and what he cannot. So I think we've come a long way from 2013 today. Where you will have much more clarity about what to expect. So let's understand what happens when you want to work with a distributor versus when you want to work with an advisor. Okay, so in case of a distributor, the whole assumption is you know what you want to buy, and you just need services of someone who could help you with the execution part. Okay, so that's where a distributor will help you open your account. He'll help you make you KYC compliant if you're not there, and then he'll help you buy whatever products you want to buy. He'll answer all your queries around all these products, and he can give you access to all this reporting and all those things as part of the after sales service. But that's where the role of a distributor ends, and he can't do anything beyond that on paper, at least. All right. On the other hand, the advisor role is very different. If you decide to work with an advisor, let's say it starts with a call or a meeting where the advisor will try to understand what your requirements are. And based on that, he'll explain you his services, his fee structure, and his methodology. Once you are a little more sure about going ahead, then he'll require a lot of data from you in terms of what your current portfolio is like, what kind of financial goals you have, your income and expenses. He'll do a risk profiling process with you, where he'll try to understand what your risk-taking capacity is. And based on that, once you decide to then go ahead, there's a fair amount of documentation which is involved. He'll send you a scope of services. He may send you a quotation with a fee breakup and all those things. And then once you do those things, you end up signing what we call as an investor agreement. All right. Now, this agreement, again, it clearly outlines all the deliverables and all the conflicts of interest and disclosures and things like that, right? So with that, what happens is you are sure about, you know, what to expect from the advisor, and once you sign off and all, once you pay the fees, that's where typically an advisor, an RIA, will start working on a financial plan, because by now he knows about what your requirements are. And so I mean, I work with several advisors, so I know how comprehensively they make the financial plan. It includes things like all your current net worth and what your cash flow surpluses are, what are your financial goals, and how you should go about saving those goals, how you can optimize your taxes, how much insurance you need to buy. So it's a very comprehensive kind of a Janam Kundli, so to speak, about your whole personal finance. Now, this is the planning part. The advisor will probably present the plan to you. And after that, if you wish to go ahead with the execution services, then you have an option to again go to the advisor and get into those kind of things, where the advisor can help you buy products. Now again, the advisor cannot pitch any product where he'll be getting commission either directly or indirectly. So that is again something very clear. So if he's suggesting mutual funds, it has to be a direct mutual fund. If it's an insurance, it has to be again a direct insurance where there's no commission embedded into it. So that's how the roles are very clear between an RIA and a mutual fund distributor.
And of course, like you said, there's content creators, people like me, I guess, and they are not here and they're not there. So,
yeah.
Pranak, do you think that a good question to ask for our listeners when they're engaging with, you know, whether it's a distributor or an advisor should be that where are you getting your revenues from? Do you think that's a good question?
Yeah, of course. I mean, firstly, I think just clearly check with them whether they are a distributor or an RIA. If they are a distributor, they just can't charge a fee to you.
Yeah.
It has to be it has to be from the commission. So it's very clear. That's why I said, you know, the RIA regulations have been path-breaking in a way.
Okay, fine. And we'll get to how to choose a good advisor later on in the show, folks. Last question before we go into the break, you know, Pranak, is that can you define the problems or hurdles in getting good financial advice today? What do you think these are?
Yeah, sure. So see, while personal finance is a very old category, you know, for a lot of us, it feels like we are alone in this, you know, navigating this complex terrain emotionally and practically, right? But and we all feel like we've just got to deal with it, whether we like it or not. But, you know, if we seek outside help, you know, there is help available. But then what stops us from getting that advice? So let's try to understand what are those hurdles that stops people from getting good financial advice. So I think right at the top is free advice. In India, a lot of people, you know, free ki advice agar mil rahi hai, then nothing like it. And with all these social media and all these you know, dailies and newspapers out there, it's even more easy to get hold of financial advice in free form, right? But the important thing is, you know, hard part is recognizing you know, which advice is worth listening to and how to apply it in your own life, right? So the experts will dole out advice on TV that you should buy this and you should buy that, but what they don't know is what your finances are, you know, what is unique to yourself, right? And that's why we end up, you know, working on all these thumb rules like you should save 15% of your income towards retirement, and you should set aside 6 to 9 months of your expenses towards emergency planning. But while these advice are good, but you know, are they unique? Do they really work in your case? So, you know, that's one of the top things which is stopping people from getting good financial advice, that they end up relying too much on free advice and they end up making mistakes a lot of time. Secondly, I think awareness about this whole financial advisory domain is also acutely missing. We know about doctors and CAs and, you know, architects. We'll go to a gym trainer and a nutritionist, but going to financial advisor is not as common as visiting a doctor, right? Even if we end up thinking about going to an advisor, a lot of us feel that we need to have a lot of money. But that is far from the truth, right? I mean, you don't need to be an HNI to get hold of a good financial advisor who can help you with this advices. So I know lots of these advisors working with people who can, you know, who've just started off with their finances. So it's never a bad idea to consult an advisor, even if you're just starting off, right? So I think this, there's this misconception about I need to be rich and I need to be having a lot of money to be going to an advisor, but that's not true. I think then the other point is there is a conflict of interest, right? I mean, there is rampant mis-selling out there. There are countless cases of old people getting ripped off with their hard-earned money, and they end up getting traditional, you know, ULIP, those endowment plans and stuff like that. So, and this is especially true with large institutions where there are faceless people out there who don't mind doing this mis-selling because the conflict of interest is they want to make quick buck out of you. So that's where I feel, you know, it makes sense to work with an independent financial advisors, because these are the guys who are going to stay with you. They are not going to be jumping from one job to the other job every year. These are the guys who manage people, who've seen the market cycles, and they're going to be with you through the thick and the thin. So my advice would be go to an independent financial advisor. It's going to be totally worth it. So that's the other bit. Then another misconception is people feel I can't afford a financial advisor because he's going to charge me a lot of money and that's not going to be you know, worth it. But again, that's not true. There are several studies out there which will counter that point, wherein we've seen people who work with a financial advisor end up creating more wealth than people who end up doing things on their own. So again, it's totally worth it to go and work with a financial advisor. Lastly, I think accessibility of getting a good financial advisor is also an issue, because a lot of us feel that these advisors work out of plush offices and high rises and entertaining HNIs. But that's far from the truth. The thing is, there are people like you and me who've done better research on which are the best financial products to invest in, and how should you go about planning your finances. So I think finding a good financial advisor is also a great hurdle, and that's what we're trying to tackle with our marketplace, where again, I'll talk about that later on. Yeah. But that's where you'll be able to get hold of a good financial advisor, research about it, and then go about working with the financial advisor.
Okay, so that's the IFA, folks. That's Independent Financial Advisor. And IFA Now is a platform that does exactly that. And when we come back on the other side of the break, we will tell you how IFA Now solves the exact problem that Ronak spoke about. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on this really special episode of Paisa Paisa, the IFA Now special with Ronak Hindocha, founder of IFA Now. And welcome back to this episode of Paisa Paisa. My guest, Ronak Hindocha, founder of IFA Now. Great, Ronak. So now tell us about IFA Now. What exactly is it? How does it work? What does it do? And how does it solve the problem that we spoke about on the first part of this episode? Tell us.
So Anupam, the IFA in the IFA Now, as you know by now, is an acronym. It stands for Independent Financial Advisor. Now, in our strategic game plan, we are sure that we are always going to work along with an IFA. And they are going to be at the forefront. We are never going to be a robo-advisory platform end-to-end where we are going to help people manage money without an advisor. What we believe is, for a certain section of society, money management is complex and will require access to a quality financial advisor. And that's what we are trying to do. And we are trying to build a network of good advisors out there who can give them the right tools and infrastructure wherein they can show their expertise and value addition to the people who need it, right? What I believe is, there's so much of knowledge these advisors have gathered over the period, and it just locked in their heads, and it just needs to come out somehow. And that's what we're trying to do, and giving them the platform they need to showcase their value addition, right? So, and in a way, we're trying to foster best practices, making the advisors feel that they have a certain value addition that they can give to the larger society, right? So that's what, at a high level, we are trying to do with IFA Now and with the IFA community. Now, see, the pandemic, again, coming back, it triggered a lot of things. You know, it made us realize that there were some really huge underlying problems that had to be solved. Okay, one was with all the undue stress people went through with their job losses and all those things. They realized the importance of savings and insurance and having an emergency corpus in place and all. But again, a lot of people didn't know how to go about it. Then, you know, they wanted to talk to a good financial advisor, but they had no idea how to find one advisor, right? On the other end, the advisors are facing this issue of discoverability, wherein they want to get access to these people who want to talk to them, right? So that's the other bit. And finally, we thought, we figured that financial illiteracy is a pandemic in itself, which had to be tackled head on, right? So with these three things, these three problems, we thought of, let's, with the B2B product that we already had in place, after the pandemic, we sort of went back to the drawing board, and we said, let's create a marketplace wherein we are going to help people connect with these advisors. And to extend it, we created a discussion forum and a learning space as well. I'll explain all these things in a greater detail. So one of the first things we built is a marketplace wherein you as an investor, let's say you can come to our IFA Now and you can see a list of advisors listed on our platform, and you can search through them. You can search by city or by, let's say, by product expertise or by client expertise. And once you zero in on few advisors, you can view their profile, just like, let's say, like how you see the profiles on LinkedIn, right? Mm-hmm. So here it's more about a lot of nuances about personal finance, which we've taken care of. So you'll be able to see their team size, you'll be able to see their fee structure and the reviews and ratings from their current clients out there. And then you can schedule a call, all right? And you can then take things forward from there. So that's the marketplace bit. Secondly, we've also built a Quora kind of discussion forum wherein currently, if you see all these questions that we have, they're all scattered across all these social media places out there. And we felt that there should be one niche platform, which is a very vertically focused network, which only talks about personal finance, and which where we are gathering a community of personal finance enthusiasts and experts on the other side, wherein you can start a discussion, you can ask a query, and others will chip in. And we've tried to build a sort of a social layer around it, where you can like, comment, and share. You can follow an expert, and you know they can follow you back. So what we are hoping with this is, over period, this will shape into a good social network where people's profile will really become richer over period. So that's the discussion forum bit. And lastly, we also we've built a learning space where the idea was to tackle the the illiteracy part. So what we are doing is we are allowing the experts to come and share their knowledge through blogs and audios and videos. And with that, what we are doing is we are giving them an audience where which is otherwise difficult for them to build online because there's so much of competition out there. But what we are doing is we are giving them this platform, and we are, on the other hand, we are curating the best of the stories and giving it to the investors who are seeking for looking for these kind of advices. So in a way, it's sort of a media broadcast for personal finances, if you have to put it that way. So okay. This is how we'd like to look at this whole thing as a social network for personal finance. And I think the time is ripe for a vertically focused social network like personal finance, which is such a huge topic. So early days, but the traction is really good. Advisors are coming forward and they are answering queries. So that's very heartening to see. And they're spending a lot of time answering these queries and writing blogs and those sort of things.
Right. So just to recap that for you folks, one, there is a listing where you can find a financial advisor of your choice. And Ronak, I assume that means so any product also, like if I want only mutual funds, but I don't want insurance, or if I want insurance and I don't want mutual funds. So is there any difference out there, or this is just generic financial advice?
This is really open advice. It doesn't have to be restricted to mutual funds or anything.
Sure.
So but again, we want to shy away from, asking for, which are the best stocks to invest in and all those things. Here, the idea is to have a little more mature questions and answers and discussions around personal finance.
Sure. So like I was saying, just to recap that, you have the listing, you have the community, and then you've got the learning.
That's right.
So, Ronak, I'm sure that a lot of our listeners, would have checked out ifnow.com, and they would be wondering that how do you run, I don't want to say how do you run your business, but what are the broad parts of your business, right? Mm-hmm. You had told me that there is a B2C part, which I think looks like this one, where I ask, if I come into ifnow and look for an advisor, that's meant for me. And I think more importantly, which is very interesting, is your bigger B2B part. Could we just walk our listeners through your model, so to say, if that's the right word?
Yeah, sure. So I touched upon the B2C initiatives, which is largely the social network bit. But an extension to that is, let's say, if you end up working with a financial advisor who is also subscribed to our SaaS product, then you have access to a lot of comprehensive money management tools, all right, wherein the advisor will be able to do a lot of planning activities around your personal finances. He'll help you lay out your financial plan, which has things like your net worth and cash flow. He'll help you optimize your taxes and tell you how much you need to save for each financial goals and stuff like that. So that's where the B2C part really ends. And so again, you can't directly come and create your money management account. You can come over here and of course, you can connect with advisors, ask them questions and all, but you can't directly open the money management account. So that's something that we want to be very clear about. And that tackles the conflict of interest part, because we have a lot of data of these advisors' clients, right? So we can't directly be dealing with the end client. So that's a B2C part. On the B2B part, we've gathered a lot of insights over period, wherein one of the most important one was these advisors, and they like to call it a practice. They're professionals in a way. So they run a practice, right? And they end up investing in a lot of different tools. So the data is all scattered out there. Although it's a small practice, but it's a pretty complex thing at the back end, because you have to ensure it's very robust in terms of the accuracy of the data and all the planning and that goes around it, and all the compliance they need to take care of. So they end up working on a lot of different softwares, which eats up into their operational activities and their time and money. So that was one of the key insights we had, and we went back to the drawing board back in 2019 and revamped our whole IFNOW, and we now call it 2.0, wherein we try to collate as many different tools as possible, all the best practices, and we try to collate all those things into one. So what we give them is, let's say, we give them a multi-asset reporting tool which covers 25 plus asset classes, insurance and liability. So it's an all-in-one tracking tool. We've given them CRM tools, like, you know, they can sync their emails and calendars. They can manage their to-dos and notes applications and all those things. They can also do risk profiling of the client, which they typically do it on some other tools. They can do the complete financial planning activities around it, which currently happens on standalone softwares or Excel sheets, again, which is not scalable. Right, so these sort of things, and then we also help them do transactional capabilities, wherein we've integrated with NSE and BSE for buying and selling of mutual funds, and on top of it, we help them to tackle their compliance requirements. So if you are an RIA, then you can use our subscription modules, you can use our advice and consent mechanism, wherein you can do the whole signing, e-signing of agreements can be done, and you can bill your clients around it. So all in all, it's a very comprehensive tool for the financial advisors, wherein it's a cohesive practice management sort of a system out there.
I've got two follow-ups out here. One is, so if you are a marketplace like an Uber or whatever, you are not taking responsibility for the quality of advice that comes in from the IFA.
Am I right
in assuming that?
Yeah. So, but I mean, see, to that end, what we're trying to do, Anupam, is we have put up a reviews and ratings system, okay, which we hope over period it will work out well, and people will be able to evaluate advisors better from the experiences of other investors. So that's that bit. But we are, as of now, we are not going to be owning up, you know, what advice they're going to.
Sure. Which is fine. That's okay. Yeah. And a rough revenue model out here for both, for if I am a customer who's logging onto your portal, or if I'm an advisor who's looking for clients, a very rough costing for me and revenue for you as to how that works on.
Yeah.
On
so, so if you are an investor and you're just using our social tools, then it's a free tool. You don't need to pay anything to us, to IFNOW. You can, of course, consult the advisor, and then the advisor decides what fees they'll be charging you. On the B2B front, it's a pay-as-you-go model, wherein the fees that we charge to an advisor could be as low as $1,000 a month, and it could go up based on, you know, what kind of a size you have. So it could go up into a few lakhs per year. So that's how it is. We already have a lot of traction going on. So to give you some numbers, we're currently managing more than 1 lakh families on the system, managing close to 15,000 crores of asset under management in mutual funds per se. There are more than 25,000 financial goals being added on the system. So it's been working pretty well, and the traction is good on that front.
That's really good to know. So let's wrap up, Ronak, with a checklist. You know, I like to leave the episode or close the episode with some specific advice from our experts, from people who know this, who are doing this for a living. Tell our listeners how they can go about choosing a good financial advisor. What are the important factors to consider? Like if someone came to you and said, Ronak, help me find a financial advisor, what are the 5 things or the 3 things or the 10 things, I don't know, that you would tell him point by point?
Sure. So I think one of the most important thing is, that there is a fair amount of vulnerability and transparency required from both ends. You know, you can't just go to an advisor and just give them your financial docs and expect him to just give you advice. You know, you got to really open up about what are your requirements and what are your challenges. And which brings me to the second point, that hire a financial advisor who is more concerned about your financial goals rather than just pushing a product to you, or rather than promising some returns to you. Because if he's coercing you into investing in some products without understanding your requirements, then that's not a good place to go to. So your comfort is very important. Look at what are the work experience that the advisor has. More the merrier. So you know, if someone has been working on it for 10 years, I'm sure, you know, they would have seen all the market cycles, and they know how to tackle these things, right? So look at that. Look at what kind of client base they are working with. So if you're a doctor or a businessman, try to understand if they worked in the past with some other doctors or some other businessman, because it has its own nuances, you know, how different kind of clientele really need different kind of helps. So that's that. And try to understand what are the fee structure, how the advisor really works, how is he making money. Feel free to ask them if he's a distributor, you know, how much commission he's going to he's going to get overall. If it's a registered investment advisor, then try to understand how the model works. It could be either be a fixed fee or a variable fee. Again, if it's a variable fee, it's typically a percentage of AUM, percentage of assets that they're managing, that they're going to be managing for you. And so that's that. And you know, lastly, come to IFA now and ask any questions that you may have. Ask these advisors; they are willing to help you out there, right? And then you may gauge what kind of an expertise that they bring to the table, right? There's no harm in asking the question and getting the feedback, right? So do that. Do the homework. And even if you end up working with an advisor, my advice would be informed. Okay. Don't just rely blindly on anyone. Still do your homework. Keep learning about personal finance. It's just a great topic to learn. And I'm sure you'll become a more informed investor along with a financial advisor. So thanks. I think these are my advices to an investor.
Thanks. So to that extent, it's not like an Uber, right? Where you actually, it's only when you step in the car, do you know how good the driver is. You're saying that in this case, before signing up an agreement, I can actually have a conversation with him? Do you?
Yes, that's exactly the idea. And I mean, you can always see how the advisors have currently answered other queries about these, from other clients. So that's a social network which will come into effect as we move along. But that's the whole idea, right? You can engage with them before even getting into a relationship.
Finally, Ronak, how can our listeners reach out to you? What are the websites? What are the places where they can know more, or they want to talk to you directly? Email, Twitter, LinkedIn? How do they do that? Tell us about that.
Sure. So log on to ifanow.com, ifanow.com, and you'll be able to create a free account and you can get started right away. If you want to reach out to me, you can email me to ronak@ifanow.com, ronak@ifanow.com. And you can check out our social media pages. We are pretty active on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook. And we have a YouTube as well, where we are just starting off with some podcast of our own. So that's something Lovely. Which we've lined up.
Should be so, many more podcasts, of course. Go on,
sorry. Of course, I mean, all these experts that we have, that we've been working with, they have so much of knowledge out there, which they're not able to get it out there. So we're trying to bridge that gap.
Okay, folks. So there you go. If you want to reach out to Ronak, he gave his email address and they are there on social media. The website, like I said, is ifanow.com. And that is the wrap on this episode of Paisa Paisa. My guest, Ronak Hinducha, founder and CEO. Ronak, thank you, for reaching out on Twitter, having a conversation there, pushing my question to your audience, and just, for coming over here and doing this for a listener. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Anupam. Thank you so much. Thanks.
And listeners, if you like this podcast, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on IBM Network. You can listen to us on the IBM Podcast app or ibmpodcasts.com. IBM Podcast is also doing some great stuff on YouTube. Yeah, do check that out and subscribe to the IBM Podcast YouTube channel. You can also follow us on our social media. We are IBM Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to reach out to me, I'm your host, Anupam Gupta, P50 on Twitter. Thank you so much for listening to Paisa Paisa.
No material on the show should be considered as financial advice. The material on the show is for informational purposes only. Please consult a financial advisor before taking any investment decision.